Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome, and you are listening to the Identity Theft Warriors. This is part number 21. I'm Kerry Lutz, and new problem, new hacking. Hacking is an epidemic. You just never know where it's going to show up next. Would you believe that they can now steal your car with a little bit of enterprising computer technology applied to an evil purpose? Virtually nobody's car is safe. And we have with us Nick Paris, information technology expert, and somebody who really gets the full scope of what's going on and why everything is so threatened in the cyber criminal age. Nick, welcome back.
Kerry, thank you for having me on the show today.
Well, it's a pleasure. So problem is here that hackers are now able to basically create a fob and pretty much get into your car and steal it almost at will. How's this work?
Absolutely. Well, there's actually a couple of different ways that this works. One is that what they've done is they've actually been able to extend the range of the fobs. That's one way that they can get into your car, so that you no longer need to have the fob like right next to the car like you have to if you're in a normal situation.
Really.
The other is that these cars are now connected to the internet, and so they've sort of left themselves open to somebody being able to gain access to the onboard computer for the car. And they can do that. They don't even need to be anywhere near you. They could be miles and thousands of miles away, actually. As long as they can get on the internet and your car is on the internet, then it's wide open.
Oh, goodness. So does this work, obviously, with certain vintage cars, but what dates? I probably only want the newest ones, but who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're really only looking at about like 2011, 2012 till up about 2014. It really wasn't until the last few years that the cars really kind of started getting connected. Of course, cars before then were becoming more and more computerized, having onboard computers and things like that. It was kind of just a natural extension of okay, well, let's make them available to the internet so that the people in the car can take advantage of that. But they really weren't starting to look too much at the other way in until they started thinking, we could send updates as far as, you need to get your car serviced or, gather some information like is your tire pressure low, your oil pressure, things like that. And unfortunately, they've left openings and exploitations that the criminals can take advantage of.
And how serious is the problem right now? Is it just starting out, or is this something that's going to get worse?
Well, it's not very prevalent, but I consider the problem extremely serious because the car doesn't necessarily have to be anywhere near you, and yet you can take almost full control of the car. A computer, you've got all your information on there, so on and so forth, and so there are things that the people can do to sort of take care of the problem. The problem with a car is that you could be in it. And actually, somebody from Wired Magazine, one of the reporters, actually did that experiment. They hired a tech firm and a couple hackers from the firm, and they hacked into his car while he was in it and actually took control of certain systems within the car. So if you look at it from that perspective, it's very dangerous. You could be driving down the road, and the next thing you know, somebody's taking control of your car. Now, what's the likelihood of that? It's probably extremely unlikely that you would get that scenario happening. You're not going to get your car taken over, but it's possible. And with any possibility, you got to worry that somebody might do that.
Yeah, that is frightening. And one time a friend of mine was driving by an Air Force base, and a fancy new jet took off from the base. And I don't know if it had electronic countermeasures going on or what, but the friend's car literally, Nick, died right on the spot and wouldn't start again until that jet was well taken off and past the highway that he was on. So it shows you, in my mind, the potential for cars to be tampered with technologically.
Right. All right. Well, one of the things that the car manufacturers are starting to do now, which is, you know, they should have been doing all along, but what the way the cars are manufactured, these computerized systems really go through like a centralized brain. And so where the vulnerability is actually like in the entertainment system, in the radio and in your GPS and things like that. But in the past, they've been tied to the central computer on the car, which then gives them access to the brakes, the steering, the engine, all that stuff. And so what they're starting to do now is they're actually starting to separate those systems so that if for some reason the entertainment, the radio, the GPS, whatever, does get hacked, then it doesn't interfere or interact with the rest of the car. But on some models, they are kind of put together that way.
That is unbelievable. So internet in your car, probably not such a great idea. And yet they're hooking up more and more cars to the internet. There's other reasons you don't want the internet hooked up to your car, not just the threat of a hack, but also makes you much easier to track by anybody.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Now we know where everybody is at all times.
Yeah. So what do you do here? Is there any way at this point, Nick, to protect yourself from these potential hackers here?
Yeah, it's not all doom and gloom. The manufacturers are working on the problem, and they're putting out updates just like Microsoft and Apple and all those guys put out updates to their software. The manufacturers are doing the same. They're upgrading the software that runs the computers on your car to make them a little bit more hardened as far as the security goes, and make them a little bit less vulnerable. So I would say that the best thing to do is to contact your manufacturer and see if there's an update to the software that runs your car, and see if it might be something that you might need to take your car into the local dealer and have them do the update for you. And that way you're kind of on top of it. And I would say just stay in contact with your dealer to make sure that you're covered and you're protected.
Yeah. So not an epidemic yet, but once somebody's figured out how to do it here, Nick, then how much longer is it before people actually start doing it?
Well, one of the difficulties in actually hacking a car is that it's very difficult to specifically identify one car. And the reason is this. When you get onto the internet, the device that you use to connect to the internet basically rents like a phone number. It rents what's called an IP address. It's called an internet protocol address. And so when a car is turned off, that IP address then gets rented to somebody else. And so basically, it becomes difficult to know, okay, if I'm trying to hack into a specific IP address, if the car is turned off and turned back on and it's now got a new one, you might be hacking into the wrong car. So the possibility or the probability that one specific car can be targeted and hacked is really, really low. Now, a random car, that's a little bit of a different story. You know, somebody could just randomly start trying to hit cars. And yeah, once they figure that out, the manufacturers are going to have to do something to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, they came up with this fob and the alarm being on it, and it immobilizes your car, shuts down everything if somebody tries to steal it, in reaction to what car thieves were doing back then, you know, 10, 15 right. years ago, drilling out the ignition, you know, hot wiring the car. So now, as always, the technology, it's always a race between the good guys and the bad guys are catching up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, years ago, you needed a Slim Jim and all that to kind of get into the car. Well, now if you can hack into it, you can pop the locks without even a sweat, you know, assuming you can kind of hack into it. So, yeah, it's something that the car manufacturers are going to have to really look at pretty hard. And it's something that, they're going to need to make sure that their onboard systems are much more secure, not only from like the software component, but also from the interaction of each component with the other, minimizing the risk and the possibility of taking over the whole car.
Yeah. So I guess the car manufacturers are going to get on this pretty quick, because literally whether you have a Ferrari, or you have a Ford, you're going to be susceptible to this hack.
You're vulnerable. Yes, absolutely.
All right. So hey, as far as other things in identity theft are going on. What's your sense as far as data breaches? Are we starting to take it seriously now?
Well, if we're not, we should. That's for sure. Criminals nowadays are more and more organized, and they're well funded. I think the hacker of today is no longer just, you know, some kid in a room somewhere in his mom's house, and he's, you know, trying to hack in just for fun. Nowadays, you've got organized crime, you know, with a lot of funding behind them, actually really trying to go after information and really trying to get to the stuff that's out there. And I don't think it's no longer a case of it's big business that's vulnerable. I think even small businesses are vulnerable. In fact, probably more so because they don't have the resources to combat this.
They don't have the resources, so we're just kind of left vulnerable with nothing to really stop it.
Well, there's some things that can be done. There's some hardware firewalls and software policies and things like that. But when it comes to the big boys, you know, they've got millions and millions of dollars to kind of throw at the problem to make sure that they're covered. And I think a little bit of it, too, is smaller businesses are complacent sometimes. You know, they say, well, you know, no, we don't have any kind of information that anybody's going to want, so we're not really a target. But nobody knows that. You know, the criminals out there don't know that, so they're still going to target you. And I guarantee you, everybody's got some piece of information somewhere in their business that they don't want to have get out. And it may not be that most of the information is okay if it's hacked into, but I guarantee you there's some piece of information that if it got out, wouldn't be good for a company. And so I always tell that, you know, to our smaller clients, I say, you know, imagine if X or Y got out, how would you feel about that? And you can sort of see it on their face that, oh, I didn't think about that. And it's like, you got to think like the big boys, and you need to protect yourselves and make sure that you're not vulnerable and wide open.
Yep. Well, that's it. You really need to be aware of this. And if you're not, by all means, go to Nick's site. Nick, where's the best place to find you?
Well, we track all these things. We've been writing blogs about them and things like that. And you can get to them at www.alphacomputing.com. That's our website. You can give us a call from there, or just kind of subscribe and follow the site.
All right. And of course, as always, you'll find a link on our site in the show notes to this interview. And don't hesitate to check out Nick's site. Nick, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being on.
Gary, thank you very much.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.